I think that implementing an approach that you can sustain long term, even if you don't get quite as fast results right out of the gate, you are going to be ahead down the road. Because the approach, you know, if you just don't eat, great, you're going to get awesome fat loss results, but you need to eat at some point. So I think it's important to implement an approach that you can see yourself sustaining long term. And if you're just asking yourself throughout the process, like, can I see myself doing this in a month? Yes, no. Can I see this myself doing this in 3 months, 6 months, a year, you know, 3 years, 5 years? And if the answer to that is yes, you're probably onto something.
What's up, my friend? I'm health expert Ted Rice, and today I'm coming to you from Vero Beach, Florida. That's right, I'm back in the United States, and I'm going to do a follow-up this Real Talk for this Real Talk Friday, talking more about what's been going on and just to catch you up on things and hopefully give you a few lessons. But today I'm super excited to share this episode because it's with a fellow fat loss coach, Marcus Sidhu. And so if you are struggling to lose fat, if you're struggling with nutrition, if you're struggling, if you try to follow diets and you fall off, if you got the all or nothing mentality where you go really hard and you're really strict with your exercise, with what you're eating, and then you fall off, today is for you. Because we're going to talk about the mindset, which, by the way, in 20 years of nearly 21 years of being in the health and fitness industry, not one person has ever said, hey, what's the right mindset that I need to have to lose fat and to, you know, transform my health and do all those things? Nobody's ever asked me that, at least not that I can remember, but people, countless people have asked me about nutrition, about exercise, about supplements. But what about the emotional stuff? What about the mindset stuff? And that's the conversation that we get in today. So we're going to, if you ever wondered, like, hey, what do coaches think about people, the people they work with, about the struggles, and talk about the struggles and how to overcome them? That's this conversation today. Marcus is such a great guy too. Had a great time connecting with them. Such a great, honest, straightforward conversation about just our experiences and the things that we see and the things that we see in other people. So if you've been struggling a bit, you're going to want to listen to this podcast. And even if you want to take your mindset to the next level, you're going to also want to listen to this podcast. Now, before I get to the episode with Marcus, what I want to tell you is, have you watched our free masterclass? Because it's brand new and it tells you exactly what I use, the strategies that I use to get my clients the amazing results that you've seen in our before and afters, that you've heard from the testimonials on the podcast, and it's totally free. And what I mean free, it's free and there's nothing that pops up for you to buy, like a $97 or $397 course or anything like that. There's an invitation to hop on a call with me at the end, but you don't even have to do that. In fact, if you don't resonate with information, I would say definitely don't do it. Just use information and get better results. And if you do feel like it's a good fit, then yeah, sure, schedule a call. Would love to speak with you if you feel like it's a good fit, if you resonated with the information in the masterclass. And you can find that at legendarylifepodcast.com/free. Again, that's legendarylifepodcast.com/free. All right, enough talk. Let's get to the episode with fat loss coach, Marcus Sidhu. Marcus Sidhu, happy to have you on the show, man. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks for having me on, Ted. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we actually had an exchange where I was on your show recently and I had such a good time with you and I thought you'd be a great guest for this show. One, because you're a super knowledgeable guy and you have your story of transformation, both external, you changed your body. You were pretty out of shape. I saw that photo of you, your before photo.
And that's, of course, putting it generously, yep.
Right. And then your after photo, but also an internal transformation too. In fact, you have a very interesting past where you had a past kind of similar to mine where, you know, you were partying and doing things you shouldn't do, drinking a lot. And, then you also have this past where you went and did a 10-day meditation at the age of 19. So before we unpack all that, can you just talk a little bit about who you are and what you do now?
Yeah, man. So I'll try and keep this as concise as possible. But basically, I
played a whole bunch of sports growing up, was really into just being active and stuff like that. And I got into basketball and football. And my goal was to actually put on weight and get bigger, faster, stronger, all that good stuff. And then after high school, when I stopped playing a bunch of sports, I didn't really change what I was doing as far as my eating habits and just, you know, other substance abuse habits. And I piled on weight. So I was at about 210 pounds. I sit at about 160, 165 now. So I was just too heavy for my own good. I had all sorts of, you know, skin issues and digestion issues. I didn't feel good. My energy sucked. Like I wasn't stoked. I wasn't stoked on life at that point. And I got into fitness more so. I got back on track and dialed in my nutrition. And I sort of approached everything as a, I guess, like a quote unquote holistic approach, you know, and looked at the physical, the mental, and the emotional aspects of this sort of stuff. And I sort of weaved it together. I definitely hadn't figured it out when I had gone to that Vipassana meditation retreat at 19. I was still off track, I would say. Still smoking a lot of weed, still drinking a lot. And it took me a minute to get back on track. And then ultimately I did. And I figured this stuff out for myself. And I felt like I just had to share it with other people. And that sort of sparked me into getting into helping other folks with their fat loss goals, but also just like the whole picture, the mental, the physical, and the emotional piece of things. So yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And if you're in this business long enough, you realize you can't just help people with eating better or with, you know, what's the best exercise for my pecs or the best exercise for my glutes? It really needs to be that mindset part. And I don't know about you. I'm really curious to hear about your experiences with the clients you deal with and what you find are common struggles with your clientele, because you and I, we're both coaches, both on the same sort of thing that we do, right? And I think that's why we resonate so well with each other. But what would you say to someone who maybe is just like, you know, the mindset, you know, I got a good mindset. I have a good job. I make money. I work hard. I'm the first one in the office. I'm the last one to leave. You know, just tell me what to do with the workouts. And how do you bridge the gap between those technical things that people love, right? We love, hey, what's the special way of doing the high intensity interval training or that special workout technique to get better results versus like the softer science side of dealing with the mindset? How do you bridge that gap with your clientele?
Man, that's a really good question. And as I'm sure you've seen too, it would depend on the person and sort of where they're at that point. Like for some people, I find that I can go a little bit deeper down certain avenues than with other folks. Some of my clients do prefer to keep it more focused on nutrition and they don't want to go as far down those other routes. But what I find is that the people that are willing to address all the aspects of their health, they get better results. And the, like you said, the physical can only go so far. You know, it's like what I find is like somebody might be, okay, let's focus on the nutrition piece, and we do, and they don't want to address some other aspects of their lifestyle, and they get stuck. And it's sort of like the lowest hanging fruit at that point, or you know, there's a book, The Obstacle is the Way. It's like, okay, that's the next thing. That's the next roadblock that's in our path. And that's what needs to be addressed now in order to make progress and go further with things physically or mentally or emotionally. So it's a great question. And I'm not sure if I really answered it, but it's like sort of seeing where my client is at and trying to speak their language essentially and connect with them in a way that they feel comfortable connecting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do the same thing. And of course that's the right answer, right? I mean, you can't get someone who's like, oh, listen, I just need to you know, just tell me what to eat and tell me how to work out. And you're like, first, take a deep breath. Let's go back into your childhood. You can't do that. People won't be receptive to it. It'll create tension in the relationship between the coach and client. Can't do that. But I will say this, the people who are willing to go a bit deeper, and no need to get too deep or rehash like old traumas or anything in case you're listening right now and you think that's what I'm talking about, like trying to pretend to be a therapist or like to do therapy or something, but just like, okay, where is this really coming from? And what do you think needs to happen for you to overcome it in a psychological or at a psychological level? And I find that the people who get the best results, at least with me, are the ones who are willing to go there to talk about or deal with whatever. And sometimes I end up referring people out, Marcus, for psychotherapy or, you know, whatever it is. And those are the people that get the best results versus the people who like to really keep it superficial. They'll get results, but I found I won't share too much because I haven't asked permission, but there was a client that I had who got great results working with me in 12 weeks. I forget exactly how much weight he lost, but it was just a total transformation. Just really impressive for a 12-week. If I had him for another 12 weeks, we could have had his abs showing and, you know, rippling striated muscles. But after the first 12 weeks, something happened in his relationship where it was his relationship with his wife that kind of brought him back. And, you know, I talked to him later and he put on weight, but then took it back off. He was really struggling after the fact. And it was because of this issue in his relationship. Do you find that to be true, or can you share a story where you were working with a client and either they got stuck because they weren't willing to work on some of these other life areas, or perhaps they worked on something with you and were able to make a huge transformation as a result?
Yeah, man. So I guess it can go one of two ways, right? And you'd hope that it goes the route of, you know, propelling somebody forward. And one of my clients that I worked with, we started working together, implementing some nutrition stuff, and she found that some stuff was coming up in her personal relationship with her boyfriend. And I actually think that taking on a coaching experience or something like this welcomes other things up to the surface because, you know, we all use food or something to cope in some ways. And so it just sort of welcomes things up potentially. And so she was having some issues in her relationship. We talked about that via the coaching process while we were implementing, you know, nutritional habits and movement, sleep, stress management, all that stuff. And we had an honest conversation. She ended up talking to her boyfriend and sort of communicating what she needed, what he needed, where she was at, where he was at over the next couple weeks. And I actually just checked in with her. She finished up with me maybe 2 months ago. I just checked in with her and she's like, man, it's amazing. Like, our relationship is better than it was prior. Stuff came up, but we communicated, we worked through it, and now we're stronger because of it. So it's like, it's about the food, but it's also not about the food. So yeah, man, I think that this process, you're sort of meeting life halfway and people are more open to welcoming whatever the next sort of needed step or phase is in their life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always great to hear from a client when, you know, other things, I don't know, I'm sure you're the same, but of course, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, the physical transformation, you and I both know what works, right? There's nothing really that new. It's these basic principles that we follow that create the transformation physically, but it's when a person comes back and says, wow, my life is awesome. I got, you know, my relationship is great. I got a promotion at work. I'm making more money. Everything is better, all because I stepped up in my life to handle my health. And it's not necessarily because my body fat is lower and my muscle is, you know, my muscles are more built up and, you know, my resting heart rate is lower or whatever. But it's what I had to do, the person I had to become in the process led to this ripple effect that affected all other areas of their life that they probably, or at least wasn't able to see at the moment, right? It was just about them getting in shape. That was their focus. You have anything absolutely to say, follow up on that? Or
yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, like you said, the fat loss stuff and the physical transformation is amazing. I love that. What really gets me going is like, you know, somebody saying, I'm feeling more content these days. My sense of well-being is up. I'm calmer. My anxiety has reduced. Things like that, that are real game changers that, like you said, ripple into every area of their life. So at work, in their relationships, you know, it's the sort of the other 24 hours of the day, not necessarily that like 1 hour in the gym or whatever. Like this stuff can spill over and improve every area, I think. And that's been my experience and the experience of my clients too.
Yeah. And I'm curious, what would you say of course, everyone's different. Everyone has unique circumstances, but if you had to kind of generalize it, what would you say, like the common, what are the big issues that people are coming to you for? What do you see them struggling with?
One of the biggest things is during the week when folks have routine and they're, you know, typically people work a 9 to 5 or Monday to Friday sort of setup, and they're great. They do really well with their nutrition. They're on point with their sleep, all that sort of stuff. They're typically not drinking during the week. And then the weekend hits and, you know, it's a whole different ball game. There's no routine, you know, cooking meals sort of goes out the window. Alcohol intake increases, sleep, sort of bedtime gets pushed back. And we need all of these social aspects. Like, I think it's really important for overall health. It's just sort of picking and choosing your spots and not having everything be, you know, super dialed in Monday to Friday and then off the rails Friday night to, you know, Sunday morning kind of thing. So that's one of the biggest things, is just falling out of a routine. And then I think that folks feel like they're starting over again every Monday and working super hard Monday to Friday, which they are. It's true. But then they're essentially, do you mind if I swear on this show? Or
go okay for it.
So there are no fucks given Friday night to Sunday, right? And that progress gets essentially erased. And these folks are spinning their wheels, but it feels like they're working so hard, which they are. They're working really hard Monday to Friday, but Friday night through Sunday morning or Sunday evening, it just sort of gets lost in the mix and the results are, it's like a washout.
Yeah, that's something that is quite common. Mondays are for starting over, right?
Exactly. Every diet
I've seen that meme.
Yeah.
Every diet starts on a Monday. Exactly. And so what, when someone's struggling with that, how do you help them bridge that gap in that sort of like they're in high school thing, right? Because it's like, oh man, college was so much fun. I got to, you know, choose when I went to class. And but now I'm like in this high school thing where I got the bell rings, I got to, you know, be up and at work. And then, you know, it just, it becomes a very structured life for so many people. And so they have to be regimented with what they do, have to be on work at time, get their breakfast, get the kids off to school. And then, okay, so I'm also going to be doing that with my health and fitness. Then the weekend comes and off the rails, like you said. So how do you help them stay on track?
I think the first thing I like to explain is that it's not always going to be this hard. So for example, implementing these habits is quite difficult at first. It's a huge shift, right? We're going from paying attention to essentially zero meals to paying attention to most of them, right? And shifting, paying attention to sleep and movement and all this stuff. But it's a lot easier to keep going than it is to get going. So I like to explain that it's a little bit more difficult. This is a bit of a sort of a shift change And once we get rolling with this stuff and we can make it more habitual, it's going to require less effort on the back end. So it's almost like we're investing right now. And then it's going to be easier to maintain these habits. It feels really tough right now because we're shifting so much all at once, but it's going to be a lot easier down the road to sustain and maintain this stuff than it is to implement it in the first place.
Yeah, it's so true. And you know, what's interesting is you see people who, I don't know if you've noticed the same thing, but I work with these highly successful people, especially when I was in, not that any of my clients right now aren't highly successful, but I was working with these uber wealthy people in Miami Beach. And one guy in particular comes to mind, an attorney, tax attorney who only took $20 million cases and up, and he got a percentage of it, right? So a guy who's doing really well, and he was initially studying to be an anthropologist. That's the weird turn that this guy's life took. But here he was, like, pissed off, like, oh man, you know, I'm having such a hard time with this. And I think it's very difficult, especially the more success you have the higher status, or what's the good way of saying it? Like, if you believe like you're a very competent, skilled person with your shit together, and then all of a sudden this other area, it's such a struggle. And instead of just looking at it like, well, hey, you sucked when you first started driving, didn't you? What's 4 times 3? That it's insulting to ask you now because it's so obvious and easy, but there was a time where you had to count on your fingers to learn the numbers. And each one of us, we have a place where we're at in health and fitness, right? Even I do, you do. There are people who are better at certain things than us with health and fitness and things that we're better at. And we all have like kind of that level. But I see people really struggling with like, when they have to go back and be a beginner at something. Can you talk about that?
Oh my God, man. It's so true. We hate to suck at things, right? Like I don't like sucking at things. I suck at snowboarding and skiing, and I live in Vancouver with all sorts of great mountains, and I don't do it because I suck, you know, like I just don't enjoy it. But I think that there is that super steep learning curve at first. And I think that that's why so many folks sort of fall off. They get on, they fall off. They get on, they fall off. And it's like learning a language, or the way that I look at it is like, I recently was in Mexico for 5 months, and I decided, like, I've had a goal of learning Spanish for ages. And I love the language. I think it's amazing. The culture's cool. So I just decided, I was like, hey, I'm digging in and I'm going to learn the language. But I felt like I knew nothing. And then I would take, you know, I took lessons for 2 months, and I would still have days. I'd have days where I walked in and I'm like, man, like, all right, I'm feeling pretty good right now. And then the next day I'd walk in and I'd be like, I know nothing. And it was just all about staying consistent. And then touching on my last point about it being easier to sort of maintain progress than it is to get going in the first place. I now take 2 Spanish lessons per week as opposed to 5. And I'm able to maintain what I've got to this point. And it's the same thing with training. It's a lot harder to build that muscle to begin with than it is to maintain it. You need much lower volumes. So somebody could go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week, build a bunch of muscle, and then probably maintain it on like 2 full body workouts a week. Like, it's just so much easier to maintain than it is to get to that point to begin with. So consistency, but man, is it ever frustrating.
Yeah, there's no easy way to get through that initial part. So that's who, do you deal with people who are mostly at that end where they've been starting and stopping Mondays or for starting over and all this stuff that we're talking about? Is that who you mostly serve?
I think, yeah. I mean, I deal with a lot of people that are just sort of tired of like you said, starting and stopping or doing something that isn't working, or, you know, I tried this diet, then I tried this diet, and I tried this diet, and it worked for 2 months, but then I put the weight back on. And so they're kind of in a place where it's like, enough is enough. I want something that is going to be sustainable for a lifetime. And I really push that maintainability of an approach, because I feel like, cool, you looked good, you were happy with your weight or whatever it was for a couple months, but are you in it for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, right? Like, let's get the long-term sustainability under control, and maybe we don't come out of the gate, you know, guns a-blazing, but we're going to be in shape 5 years, 10 years down the road, as opposed to back at square one, you know, focusing on the next fad diet, whatever it is that's popular at that point in time.
This episode is sponsored by Organifi. Do you want to know a secret that all my coaching clients follow? It's really simple, but powerful. Add vegetables into each meal. But let's be honest, most of us, including myself, don't eat the recommended servings of vegetables and fruits each day. So for those of us who are on the go or have trouble eating healthy, having a greens powder makes it easy to get your greens in every single day, no matter how busy you are. And that's why I use and recommend Organifi Green Juice, a superfood powder that you just add water to so that you can get your greens in even when you're on the go. The best thing about Organifi Green Juice is that it actually tastes great. But don't believe me, try it for yourself. And use the code TED20, that's capital T-E-D, the number 20, at www.organifi.com. That's Organifi.com to receive 20% off your first order. But hurry, this is a limited time discount for Legendary Life listeners. Now, back to the episode. Yeah, it just it's sad to see people stuck in that cycle of losing the same 10 to 20 pounds over and over and over again. And what would you say is the biggest misconception that some of your clients have? Or I guess what I'm trying to ask here is, what is the thing that ends up making them sign up with you? Like, what is the point? Like, oh, I've listened to this podcast, I've read this blog, I've watched this YouTube video, I've done the HIIT workout that I saw this Instagram with a 25-year-old girl with tight yoga pants on, you know? Like, what is the thing that makes people sign up with you? What is that point?
I think that it is, you know, fortunately, I haven't ever hopped on sort of any sort of different, I'm not paleo, I'm not keto, I'm like diet agnostic. So if somebody wants to implement the ketogenic diet, I'm going to help them do that in what I think to be the most effective way. But not everybody that comes to me needs to be on the ketogenic diet or a vegetarian or the paleo approach or low carb, high carb, whatever. I am a lot more interested in what works and what works for that individual. So I'm not really invested in one specific, you know, narrow approach. And I think that for some people that really resonates with them, that it's like this consistency of messaging, where I think that for some folks, it's like, I think that guy's onto something potentially. I think that he's telling me the truth, which I'm trying to always put out the best information possible and what I think to be the most effective approaches and things. But, you know, as you know, like these staples, these basics and stuff, they don't change, you know, they don't change. And so what changes is the way in which we implement what works for the individual, but not necessarily those overarching principles of physiology. Like, you know, everybody uses ATP the same way and things like that.
Yeah, no, that's well said. And I think you're bringing up, when you were talking about that, an important distinction came to mind, right? Because I do the same thing. And the reason why we do it is you and I get paid for coaching. That's how I make money, right? I don't have a keto diet start kit that I sell for $67 or whatever it is. And I'm looking for, you know, a bunch of people to buy my download product, and whether they stick with it or not, you know, I'll get a couple people who make a transformation and they'll send me their emails or before and after photos or tag me on social media. You and I, we have to get in there and have to do the work. And we don't have the, because it's one-on-one, we don't have the, I don't want to say luxury because it really isn't about that, but we've got to actually help people instead of trying to force a square peg into a round hole type of situation when it comes to diet. And I've had a woman come to me. She was actually leaner and then did the keto diet because she thought it was the thing to do. And then she got fat. She put on body fat, her body fat percentage increased, you know, compared to her previous DEXA scan when she started working with me. And it was just, you know, people end up in those types of situations. Now, whether it just wasn't a good thing to implement for her or she did it wrong, it doesn't kind of make a difference, right? Meaning that we all need to figure out the thing that's the most effortless for us. And I know that's what I'm sure you help your clients do. Like, what is the thing that just flows with you here? Because your life is going to be tough enough, right? You've got kids or you've got a career or whatever it is that you have going on in your life. If your routine involves like dealing with the keto flu, just to keep with the ketogenic example, and you're like, oh my God, the electrolyte depletion is killing me, the hyponatremia, you know, it's just not something that you need to deal with. There's no reason for it. Versus something that has maybe a higher carb approach where you feel less stressed and you get to eat like fruit, you know.
You can have some strawberries, yeah.
You can have some strawberries, exactly. Do you have any follow-up, anything that you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, man. I am not against the keto diet or any sort of approach necessarily. I think that it's important to implement what works. And I really like what you said about the most effortless thing. So let's implement something that is, it's not going to be easy because this stuff is difficult, but let's make it, you know, as least difficult as possible, if that makes sense. So if you don't like eating breakfast and you're not hungry in the morning, like, let's not force it. You know what I mean? If you just want to do some coffee, like, great, and just have a piece of fruit or something or not eat at all, awesome. Let's look at these overarching principles of what matters, calorie balance, all that sort of stuff, and then work backwards from there based on what works with your schedule, your lifestyle, and your goals, instead of, like you said, forcing a square peg into a round hole by being like, you need to eat, you know, six meals a day, or you have to cram all your carbohydrates around your workout because you're the most insulin sensitive then. But what happens if you're not hungry before and after your workout? And you like to eat a bigger meal at night, you know what I mean? Like, let's work with what works for you specifically and make it this difficult situation as easy as possible.
Yeah, and we were talking about that actually before we started hopping on and recording this. And what we were talking about is some of the optimization strategies like time-restricted feeding. However, the research says that actually pushing your dinner earlier is going to be more beneficial for you. And just in case anyone's listening and confused about that, we're talking about metabolic benefits. So, you know, lower spikes with your blood sugar and, you know, less disrupted sleep. However, like, what were you saying? Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how to implement the right things. So if someone hears, oh, time-restricted feeding, but then finds themselves kind of hungry later on.
Yeah, the research is sort of coming out that it's beneficial for the circadian rhythm to push feeding forward in the day, meaning to have more of your calories at, say, breakfast, lunch, and then like a lighter dinner that's earlier. But in a practical implementation sense, if somebody isn't as hungry early in the day, I'm one of those people. If somebody's not as hungry earlier in the day, I don't see a point in forcing food towards those times, especially when fat loss is the goal, because hunger is a massive roadblock for folks when it comes to fat loss. So let's work, you know, with those hunger signals as opposed to against them. And it could actually backfire as far as circadian rhythm goes, because if I try and push all my food to forward or to earlier in the day, and then I'm hungry going to bed and hungry trying to sleep, like, that's not a recipe for a quality sleep. And so the way that I approach it with folks is you can eat as close to bedtime as you want with one important caveat, and that is that it doesn't interrupt your sleep. So some people might have a massive meal before bed and then wake up with like the night sweats because their body's, you know, digesting so much food still. We want to push that forward. But we don't want to go to bed hungry either, because trying to sleep when you're hungry and your stomach is growling is like, that's just counterproductive. So it's sort of this merge between the research and circadian rhythm and all of this sort of stuff, but then practical implementation at the end of the day, because what the research says at that point is essentially useless if you can't implement it. And if you violate the principles of calorie balance because you hear that there are circadian rhythm benefits to eating earlier in the day, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, that's so important. And that comes with experience. And what I find that I hear from a lot of people, especially what I've been doing lately on Instagram, is that people are super confused about all the different messages, all the different approaches, and what is right for them. And what you said is so important. It's that experience that, okay, well, you know, we've tried to be optimal according to what that, you know, research says on circadian rhythm and feeding time, but it ain't working in your life, right? And that's the most important thing. And it can also be a step like what you were saying earlier, where at first you're going to have to put this upfront work in to get your habits dialed in. And maybe later it can be more appropriate when you're looking at optimization, but trying to get too fancy too fast is how you get in trouble. You got to learn how to, you know, throw your jab and your right cross and your hook before you do the spinning back fist, you know, 100%. To use a martial arts example.
100%, man. Yeah. I think that, you know, people that put the cart before the horse, like looking at all of these intricate supplements and all of this sort of thing, and it's like, how many hours are you sleeping a night, or what's, how many calories you're taking in, and they don't know. And so it's like, let's get an order of importance down, focus on the basics, the things that yield 99, 98% of the results, and then look at those little optimization things when we've got all the important stuff buttoned up.
Yeah. And I was just laughing at what you said, because I routinely talk to people, and one of the things I find, nobody knows what their body fat percentage is. They know what the weight on the scale is, but they don't know their body fat percentage. And they also don't know how much they're eating or what they're eating, right? Well, everybody knows what they're eating, but meaning like documenting it and being super clear about your choices, right? Like, I can't remember what I had for dinner four nights ago either, but I have a routine that I've established. So I know, you know, I'm able to stay lean doing whatever it is that I do. And if I start to see a change in the wrong direction or in the direction that I don't want, I know how to shift into that. And that comes from all the work that I did previously, because I'm not that smart, or, you know what I mean? Like, it came from just understanding the principles and playing around with them and figuring out what works. And it takes time to get that. And people don't get that without putting in that work.
Yeah. And I think that that's a cool point too, because once you've established those basics and once you've put in enough sort of time, then you have more leeway to play with. So for you, for example, you understand these overarching principles super well. And so you can play with your, maybe your protein, carbohydrates, and fats a little more than the average individual because you have the framework. And so for people starting out, know there isn't going to be quite as much leeway, but once you get those skills and habits under your belt, you're going to have a lot more room to play.
Yeah. And what would you say to people like who kind of are in that cycle where they're listening to a podcast like this and, you know, 10 other podcasts like your podcast, N1 Fitness podcast, and they're listening and they're doing their best to implement, but they're still not seeing the results that they want?
I think that that is tough, right? Because there's so much information out there, and you hear from one person that this is the approach to take, and then another person, you know, contradicts that other individual just perfectly. You know what I mean? So it's like, shit, what do I do? I think that one of the most important things to do is to follow somebody who just sort of resonates with you. Like, their approach just makes sense. It sits with you well. You're like, you know what? That's logical. I think this person comes from a good place. Not to say that other people are not coming from a good place, but their message just sort of, yeah, like it resonates with you and it makes a bunch of sense. And then it sounds kind of strange, but maybe don't listen to too many people at once. It's sort of like financial advice, right? Like, you can, there are so many different ways to establish wealth, and there's not, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And so it doesn't mean that one person's approach is right and one person's approach is wrong, but there are different approaches for different people. And if there was just this one approach for people, there would be one busy person in the fitness industry, and that would be the one person working with everybody, and they'd have the longest wait list in the world. You know what I mean? So there are different approaches that different people identify with. And I think that it's important to sort of just be honest with yourself about, like, what sits well with you and your gut and who that individual is. And do you think that you would work well with them in a one-on-one coaching environment, for example, if that's something that you were looking for?
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And yeah, of course, there's Dave Ramsey or Ramit Sethi. Personally, I know who I follow there, Ramit all the way. But
Ramit is great.
Yeah, isn't he? And because it's all about making money instead of saving money. Anyway, not to go down that, but and if you're not following Ramit, definitely check his financial advice out. No, he didn't pay me to say that, unfortunately, because he's doing quite well. But as far as like that is concerned, I would even go as far as to say, make sure you're listening to someone who actually works with people as well. I find a huge disconnect between guys. I think this is really important. If you're listening right now, an important distinction to understand is that if you're listening to different people and you're, you know, judging based on their charisma, you're like, wow, I like him. He's got a nice voice and he uses sciencey sounding terms. I really like his approach. He sounds like a likable, trustworthy guy. That's cool. I would say err on the side of working with someone who's actually worked with people, because I'm in this business as a content creator. I create these podcasts. I do interviews like this, Marcus, but I don't have a book that I'm trying to sell. And I don't have a course that I put together. Actually, we're in the process of making one, but that's taking such a long time because we're trying to make it so practical and in a way that delivers results versus some of these other people where it's like, how many people have you worked with? Okay, so you wrote a book. All right, so you don't really work with people other than giving them information through your show or through your book. It's just a different, I'm not saying that you can't learn something from someone like that, because I've learned quite a bit from those people, but there's just something a little bit different. You're going to have to get, you'll end up with a more flexible type of person who has the experience to kind of know when to use one tool, because that's all those things are, versus another tool. And that just comes with working with a lot of people. You can't learn that from a book. You can't watch a YouTube video and get that. You can't even do research and write an entire New York Times best-selling book. You've got to spend time in the trenches working with people, that's where you learn everything and how to personalize things and when to use what tool and when to say, you know what, let's switch. This tool doesn't seem to be working for you.
I totally agree, man. That's a great point. And I think it's the difference between a coach that's played the game and a coach that hasn't played the game. And someone will be like, oh, well, you know, in the NFL, Bill Belichick is the best coach and he's the exception, right? Most of the coaches that are the best coaches have suited up and played on the field, and they have a level of experience, and they speak a little bit of a different language than the coaches that have never been, you know, at that tier. And I think that that's the distinction. It's like, if you've been through this process yourself, I think that people that have lost fat or have been overweight at one point have a different understanding than folks that have just been in shape for their whole entire lives and haven't really had to work at it. It's just an experiential thing that, you know, that can't be learned. Essentially, you just have to go through it.
Yeah. And boy, that reminds me, I had abs all in my 20s, never really worked hard for it, never had to diet down for it, was out drinking, you know, and doing all these other things that wasn't good for me. But I spent so much time dancing and went out enough that I just happened to burn off all the calories that I would eat and, you know, probably mostly drink during that period of my life. And it wasn't until I went through that transformation, like you went through your transformation, Marcus, where it really teaches you. And I like want to go back and apologize to all the, you know, 40-year-old mothers of two that I was just like, no, you just got to do this, where I really didn't understand what I was saying at the time. I just thought I had it handled, but it was really just, was these other things that allowed me to get results. And when I really had to do it for myself and I struggled through the process, whoa, that was the experience.
Yeah, man, a memory just popped up for me too. I remember I was talking with this other personal trainer, and I know he's been in shape for his whole life and he's got great genetics and stuff like that. And we were talking about nutrition, and he heard that I did nutritional coaching and stuff. And he's like, you know, I just don't get it. It's easy. Like, just eat less and move more. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like, brilliant fucking insight, man. Like, we haven't thought of that before. You know what I mean? It's just like, you clearly don't understand what it takes, you know?
Right.
And it's just this huge disconnect. And not to say that you can't be a good coach if you haven't ever struggled with fat loss. I'm not saying that. I just think that personal experience does give someone an advantage that somebody that has always been in shape just doesn't have, or just even an aspect or an experience that somebody doesn't necessarily have if they've been in shape their whole lives.
Yeah. Make sure if you're dealing with that and it's just not resonating with you, make sure that you're finding a different person to work with. If you're not dealing with someone and they're just, you know, a 25-year-old telling a 45-year-old mother of, you know, three, just to kind of get it together and it's easy, just, you know, that's not probably the person to be learning from. So anyway, yeah, man, I feel like we could keep going on, but I feel like we covered so much important information. I hope if you're listening right now, you came away from this conversation really having a more nuanced understanding of what goes on when coaches are helping people and what goes on in this industry with all the information being shared and how to kind of navigate through it so that you can actually come out on the other side with a plan and some results. Marcus, we talked about so much. What would you say was the biggest takeaway you'd like someone to leave this interview with?
I think implementing an approach that works for you and an approach that you can sustain long term. If I understand that it's not super sexy, but if your results aren't...
That's not the sexy answer, Marcus. What's the nootropic that I need to take?
I think that implementing an approach that you can sustain long term, even if you don't get quite as fast results right out of the gate, you are going to be ahead down the road. Because the approach, you know, if you just don't eat, great, you're going to get awesome fat loss results, but you need to eat at some point. So I think it's important to implement an approach that you can see yourself sustaining long term. And if you're just asking yourself throughout the process, like, can I see myself doing this in a month? Yes, no. Can I see this myself doing this in 3 months, 6 months, a year, you know, 3 years, 5 years? And if the answer to that is yes, you're probably onto something.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. It's like you said, you know, if you want this sexy, if you want to learn about boosting your testosterone levels through shining infrared light on your testicles, there's a podcast for that.
Wait, but no.
Yeah, you get like a 10% improvement for a limited period of time and probably goes back down to normal with no physiological benefit whatsoever.
And a super sweet suntan.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, I was having a conversation about that recently, but no, brilliant piece of takeaway advice. And if you're listening right now, you know, that's the truth. If you want the truth, this is the podcast to listen for, listen to it. Marcus is a great guy as well. You should really, if you liked what he brought to the table today, you really got to check out his N1 Fitness podcast. You can find that at n1fitness.com. That's N, the letter N, the number 1fitness.com. You can also find him on Instagram at N1Fitness. So the letter N, the number 1Fitness. So N1 at N1Fitness on Instagram. And yeah, man, you know, it was a pleasure connecting with you the first time around. I had a lot of fun this time. And yeah, I just, I see you being just a person, you know, I feel super comfortable having on. And, you know, if you are looking for a coach, you should definitely check out Marcus and see what he's up to.
Thanks so much for that, Ted. And I feel the same way, man. I really identify with your approach too. And I just think you're a good dude. And it's nice to connect with like-minded people in the fitness industry that are, like we talked about, looking at, you know, a little deeper of a layer than protein, carbs, and fat. So also, I interviewed you for my podcast. I don't know exactly when this is going to go out, but I'll be throwing that one up on my channel as well. So for folks to listen out for our interview on my podcast too.
Yeah, we'll make sure we get that email out to the list and share that as well. So cool, man. A lot of fun speaking to you again. And yeah, it'll be fun to connect and maybe we'll find each other in the world and connect somewhere. I'm dying to come to Vancouver. So let's try to make that happen.
I'd love that, dude.
All right. Well, Marcus, thanks again and looking forward to connecting with you again soon.
Appreciate the opportunity. See ya.
That wraps up another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Marcus is such a great guy, gets great results with his clients. Definitely, if you're, you know, you resonated with him and you don't resonate with me, definitely check him out. And what I would say was this: if you do resonate with my approach and you haven't watched my free masterclass, go to legendarylifepodcast.com/free and watch that free masterclass. There's one for men, one for women. And again, nothing to buy, no pop-ups, no trying to upsell you, anything like that. There's an invitation at the end to hop on a call with me if you resonate with the information and you fit the description of the type of person that I'm looking for. And if you don't, no problem. Take the information, use it, get better results. And I'm just as happy with that, honestly, right? Just as happy with that. If more people would watch it and implement and get better results and be happier and be healthier, I'm just as happy with that. So here's what I would say. Watch it. If you haven't taken the time to watch it, go to legendarylifepodcast.com/free. I think I've repeated myself like 3 times already, so I'm going to wrap things up now. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Have an amazing week. I'll speak to you on Friday.